back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 Woo-hoo! The Game.
Woo-hoo! I talked to Trent Bray, the Oregon State football head coach, yesterday for a few. Woo-hoo! He's having a really nice offseason. He's got a quarterback, Malik Murphy, transferring in from Duke. He's got a couple of tight ends that are super interesting. As you know, tight ends are hard to come by, and he got two of them. Jackson Bowers, a BYU transfer, and Riley Williams, former Central Catholic kid who played at Miami. Both of them coming to Oregon State. He's improved the offensive line. He's found a defensive back. He's got an edge player or two on defense. Oregon State trending in the right direction. I reported today that Malik Murphy's deal with Oregon State, his NIL deal, $1.5 million in cash. Joining us now to kind of talk about the Damnation Collective and other things, Kyle Bjornstad, who is the head of the Damnation Collective at Oregon State. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. Thanks again for having me.
You bet. I wanted to talk to you about this because for a couple of weeks, I've been looking at the players that are going to Oregon State, and I said this on air, and I believe it. Like, you can talk good culture, good kids, good coaching. At the end of the day, Rasheed Wallace said, cut the check, baby, CTC. You have to have a collective there in today's college football that will cut the check. What has changed at Oregon State? Because the players are coming through there. They're better players. You're winning some of these recruiting battles. I have to think that it's a Damnation Collective product.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, and you know me well enough by now. I always deflect, and, you know, the coaches, the staff, they do a tremendous job, you know, identifying players, recruiting them. That is a long, tedious process, and they do a remarkable job with that. But, you know, this day and age of NIL, I think my goal, how I like to summarize it, is, hey, they're going to go after the guys they really want, and I think these guys really want to be at Oregon State. But, you know, at the end of that process, NIL is going to come up, and my job is to be there and make sure that Damnation's not the reason that kids don't come. So I want to remove that obstacle and be as aggressive as we possibly can. And, you know, we've worked really, really hard over the last few years to put ourselves in this position, and we had a great offseason, and we're excited. But hear me, like, we want to keep going, and we want to keep growing this thing.
Trent Bray tells me that, you know, they had their wish list, the positions they needed to fill. He also said he does not talk NIL money with the kids. And so I'm curious how closely you're working with Trent Bray. Is that a day-to-day thing? Is, you know, because apparently he's handing the kids off to the collective at some point. And I have to think somebody in, you know, Malik Murphy's circle, a family member or an agent, is having a conversation with you. So when does that happen?
Yeah, so, you know, it can happen different parts of a recruiting process. You know, coaches are not supposed to participate in those NIL conversations. Now, do they? Maybe at other places they do. At Oregon State, we do things the right way, and they don't. But what they are allowed to do, if NIL comes up in a conversation with a student-athlete, their parents, or an agent, because agents are very involved now, if it comes up, they are allowed to essentially hand them off to the collective. And in this case, it's me, and I can handle those conversations from an NIL standpoint. But to answer the first part of your question, you know, with my connection to the university, you know, going back quite a while, I think there's a lot of trust there. I obviously know the administrators. I know Coach. And yeah, we do talk frequently. And, you know, in order to make this work, you absolutely have to be on the same page and understand, you know, their wants, their needs. And then it's my job to make sure that I've got the resources and do the background work to figure out, hey, what does this landscape look like for different players and different positions, and understanding the market. And most importantly, though, understanding what I have and working within my means to do everything I can to help that team.
Give us an idea, because, you know, I report today Malik Murphy, $1.5 million NIL deal. That's $1.5 million in cash that I am told he is getting from Damnation Collective. And you know, I know that Kentucky is going, man, we offered seven figures and we got outbid. And Auburn is saying the same thing. Can you confirm that? Is Murphy getting 1.5 mil?
You know, John, I appreciate the question, and I know you have to ask it, but my stance on this has always been pretty simple. And out of respect for our players, I haven't, and I won't talk about individual deals. I that's up to each athlete if that's something that they want to talk about. Now, having said that, there's no question, you know, a blue-chip quarterback in today's landscape is getting seven figures and up in NIL opportunities. So I don't have a problem saying that, but I'm not going to get into specifics of any deals for certain athletes.
All right. So when I say 1.5 million, I mean, you're not going to call for me to make a correction to the piece, right? I mean, we're talking about, you know, with respect to Murphy and his family, we're in the right neighborhood. And am I right to say, you know, look, other collectives were telling me a high level tight end is a $250,000, NIL sort of investment. Am I in the right neighborhood there?
You're hanging out in the right neighborhood. You are.
It blows my mind that some of these guys are going to go to the NFL someday and take pay cuts. And I'm not talking just about your school. I mean, it's amazing to me how much money is out there. So what's changed at Oregon State? Has there been an infusion of new donors? Are the big fish stepping up? Is it local businesses? What's happening with the collective?
You know, it really is a melting pot of all the above. I from day one has been very, just out talking about, you know, yes, do we need some of our biggest supporters to step up and help? Absolutely. Especially as we build something, but I'm trying to build something that is truly sustainable. And so yes, do we have some larger donors? Yes. Is there small, local, regional, and even up to national brands that are looking for marketing and using their marketing budgets to in this NIL space to help us? Yeah. But the other piece of it, too, is I have tried to, and we continue to create a membership platform when Beaver fans across the board, starting at $10 a month, upwards from there, getting everybody involved at the level that they are able to, and to help us build out recurring monthly revenues. And so it really is a melting pot for how we're bringing in our revenue. And we're going to continue to evolve in that way, because I'm interested in sustainability, not just today and tomorrow, but 6 months from now, a year, 2 years from now. How do we keep this thing going, and not just keep it going, but keep growing it? Because this is something that we've been building for a couple of years. And you look back at the last year, it was a rough year. You know, conference realignment at your head coach leaves, those things are, you know, you can't hide from those things. Those are big things to have to deal with. But the dust settled. We kept our nose down. We kept working. And now I think you're seeing the fruits of that labor.
Kyle Bjornstad, our guest. He is head of Damnation Collective at Oregon State. You alluded to the recurring donations. You've got a offer there of a match. You have a donor who is offering $1 million if you can get 2,500 people to say $10 per month or more of a recurring donation. Where does that stand right now? And man, that's a big carrot that's dangling out there.
It is. And it's also going to take a lot of work and effort to get there. 2,500 people, that's a lot of people. But, you know, with the work we're doing, I think it's something that people can get on board with and do. So we launched that really towards the tail end of 2024. And we're at just shy of 400 new members since we launched. We know that this is definitely a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, it's going to take a little bit of time to get there. But as we prove out what we're doing and people understand that, hey, these contributions, every single dollar matters. And if you like what you're seeing right now and you're enjoying that success, and believe me, it's going to translate onto the field. But if you enjoy that, I encourage everybody who calls themselves a Beaver to jump on board. Get in at the level you can. And know that you're doing your part, because every dollar matters.
The totals, the back of the napkin math here, quarterback at 1.5, couple of tight ends at $250,000 each. That's $2 million invested in three players. I had ADs who will tell me, hey, you got to spend $5 million to be a top 25 team. It feels to me that Oregon State is aiming to be a top 25 or better program. Am I right to see the money and the investment and believe that Oregon State's going in right now?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to put your finger on an exact dollar amount, but again, I think you're in that right neighborhood, understanding the market as I do, you know, all of those things. To be a top 25 team, that might be the number. But listen, I want Beaver fans to hear me loud and clear because, you know, I am running this collective, and NIL is a huge piece to this equation moving forward. Not only do we want to be a top 25 program, we want to compete for a spot in a college football playoff. We absolutely do. And so that may mean that you're spending more than that. So we want to push as much as we possibly can. If we have the resources, you can see now what we're able to do, what we've been able to build. And now the key is to continue on what we're doing, but keep pushing harder. Keep pushing harder, go further, and let's just see where we can take this thing.
Kyle, we talk a lot about culture and winning teams having great culture. Can you build culture through the portal and, you know, through this very transient world where it is about, you know, getting what's due to me and I got to get mine? And can you build culture within that?
I believe you can. I really do. And at the end of the day, I think the one thing that definitely has not changed at Oregon State is the type of athletes that and kids with characters that we recruit. And I think that's the biggest thing, right? And I go back to this process. You know, coaches identify the players, and they recruit them, and they get to know their families and all of that. And the first box you want to make sure that's checked is, do the kids really like the place and the coaches and the culture? And obviously, NIL comes up. It absolutely does. But I first want to know, are those other boxes checked? And if they are, then let's do this thing. Let's figure this out. But that's the one thing we're not going to back away from is this is a special place. We do have special people, and the culture is really, really solid, and we want to make sure that we keep that intact. So I believe you can, and you just have to be thoughtful in how you build out your teams and who you're bringing in.
Damnation Collective is Oregon State's NIL arm. Kyle Bjornstad, head of the collective, is with us now. Let me ask you this. Coaches are not supposed to be talking dollars, but you get in the conversations with either an agent or a family member as you start to talk about financial terms. I am fascinated by that. Can you let us in on kind of what that's like when you're dealing with a family member maybe? Have you had cases where it just kind of goes sideways because people are delusional and you have to go back to the coaching staff and say, hey, look, this is going to be a problem? Or if you're dealing with an agent, have you had similar circumstances where maybe an agent, you know, there are some Mickey Mouse agents out there? Give us a peek into your world and what that's like.
Yeah, you know, my preference is I always try to create a relationship with the athlete first and foremost, and then, you know, parents. You know, agents, there are some very good ones out there, ones that I enjoy working with, and then there are others that are the opposite, just to be honest with you. You know, every conversation is a little bit different, you know, but from my standpoint, and I, from the very, very beginning of every conversation, I come at it from, hey, we obviously really want you at Oregon State. That the coach makes those decisions. They build their rosters. I am always extremely mindful of the resources that I have. So I'm never going to make promises that I can't deliver on, ever. And so I'm just very matter of fact through that process. Like, I research the landscape. I understand the market as best as I can with what little information is actually out there, the conversations I'm able to have. So I'll say, hey, we feel that I have been able to put together a very good package for you as an individual. Here's what it is, and this is just where we are. I mean, in terms of negotiation, I don't leave a whole lot of room for it because I can only do what I can do, but I am really happy with the fact that we've been able to put together a program that we are in that neighborhood that you've talked about where we can be really, really competitive. So we're being fair. We're not trying to, we're being super aggressive is what I'm trying to say. So every conversation is different, but I try to really connect with the athlete and the parents. And if there's an agent, great. I hope for the best. But that's really kind of how it is. And you just shoot them straight from the beginning. And if you really do want to be a Beaver and you see yourself here, this is what we can do, and let's build from there.
Kyle, the revenue sharing's coming after the House settlement is approved. How will that work at Oregon State? Will Damnation Collective be absorbed by the school? Will the school still work independently, side by side? How will that work?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still some to be determined. I know that, the school obviously will, Scott's come out and said that they're going to be really aggressive in that space. The collective will absolutely not go away. I think collectives that are structured properly, such as this one, it's going to be a big-time value add to the department on top of revenue share. And again, it goes back to how I built this. It's not just, big donors putting money in. It's memberships. It's recurring revenue. It's marketing, true NIL marketing with corporate sponsors and all of those things. So I want to be a value add to whatever the department's able to do in terms of revenue share. And again, with my connection, I know we're going to be able to figure it out and be a leader in this space. Again, we might not have the most resources compared to other schools, but I tell you what, I don't think there's anybody who's more well thought out, strategic, and has a closer connection with the athletic department that they're helping in this space. So I look forward to kind of rolling up our sleeves and figuring out exactly what that looks like, and we will figure it out.
Will there be additional pressure now? And maybe this just isn't true for Malik Murphy, but everybody else. If this guy's getting $1.5 million, fans are going to say, hey, if I want to continue to give to Damnation, I need this kid to perform. Does that exist now with donors and fans being on board, or how do you view that?
I haven't felt that yet. I see why you asked the question, because as things get out there, there's going to be some of that. But I haven't felt it at this point. But it's going to be interesting to kind of sit back and watch and see how that all evolves. But at this point right now, I haven't felt that, to be just totally honest with you.
Kyle Bjornstad is the president and founder of Damnation Collective. Kyle, I appreciate you, man. Congrats. You guys are obviously getting it done. I love Trent Bray's quote in my piece today where he just says, hey, we're no longer the little brother. We belong at the table, and we're going to be at the table. I like that selling point. It's aggressive and it's bold.
That's what we have to be, and that's my mindset too. Look, if we don't have that mindset, what are we doing? Why go through the effort? I want to win, and I want to win at a very high level. I want to go into every, regardless of sport, but football specifically, we're talking football. I want to show up every Saturday expecting to win. And I think we're putting together a product that is the expectation. And if we don't think that way, again, I'm not in the right role. So I agree with Coach. We're in total alignment there, and let's get after it.
Kyle, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There he goes. $1.5 million. Oregon State dug deep to get Malik Murphy. Steven, how does it fly if Murphy doesn't perform, or what concerns do you have? But here's the first thing. I love Oregon State's doing this because it sheds the little engine that could mentality that Oregon State has permeated for the last 20 years. Oh, I think I can. I think I can. We're built, not bought. And now suddenly Oregon State has joined, Power 4 football. As Scott Barnes, the AD, says, we're going to fund like a Power 5 school. This is funding like a Power 5 school. And I hear from Bjornstad that they're going to spend above $5, $6, $7 million to try to build a roster next season.
Yeah, it does shake that the thought that this school is not going to spend. I do like that because you have to spend to win. I think you can buy yourself to get to that college football playoff. I think it's attainable in the new Pac-12. But if someone doesn't perform well at a school like Oregon State, like Malik Murphy, he's really making $1.5 million. As Kyle Bjornsson said, like, that's the going rate. He didn't confirm that's the number, but he said that's the going rate for a big-time quarterback. If he doesn't perform at a school like Oregon State, are these fans going to say, yeah, I'm going to continue donating to this? I find that hard to believe.
Now, but isn't that true of everywhere? Is that just
no, because I don't think so. Because I think at these bigger schools, at Oregon, if it didn't work out, I think they're still on board with Phil Knight and just say, here's some more money, or it's just something else is going to happen. I think there's more money involved. At Oregon State, is more of a blue collar, like, we're going to work hard anyways. We don't like this NIL stuff anyways. We develop our players, so now we have to go out and buy somebody. He's not a true Beav. This isn't working. I do feel like that could be a problem if these guys don't perform well.
I think that that dynamic exists everywhere but Oregon. But the thing is, you know, I get caught up a little bit in talking with ADs about, you know, how much do you have to spend to be top 25? And, you know, multiple ADs gave me, hey, you got to be above $5 million. You know, that's to get into, you know, you're in the top 25. And then if you spend above 7 or 8 or $9 million, you can start talking about being, you know, up near the, you know, the top 12 teams. And again, Oregon and Ohio State are going to spend $20 million plus the NIL collectives additionally are going to kick in money. They're going to be spending $20 or $30 million, right? I had more than one person tell me they don't have to, that you can be up and be a playoff team for around $7 or $10 million. So the question is, you know, can you stay healthy? Can you make wise investments? This is sort of like, you know, the dynamic in the Major League Baseball world where you get teams that will spend, like the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees and the Red Sox, and then you've got small market teams spending down below. There's a lot of that money ball that's going to need to be played. Leave it here. Our Big Splash coming up.